I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Neil Heiberger. He's president of Renaissance Institute for Lifelong Learning, and Nancy Baker, who is chair of the curriculum committee there. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Mm-hmm. So what is Renaissance?
Well, Renaissance, the full title, as you say, is Institute for Lifelong Learning. And really what we do is offer courses to the community that have a strong academic basis that appeal to people's interest, whether it be history of the Southwest, science, literature, politics. But the I guess the most important element is that they're very strong academically. We have outstanding lecturers, and we just offer what that seems to appeal to the people that live in Santa Fe.
So this is a community where there's a lot of retired people and a lot of retired experts,
yes.
Professors, mm-hmm. diplomats, that kind of thing.
That's right. We have a real wealth, I think, of people both to pull from, both for teaching and also, of course, the participants at Renaissance really are, in many cases, highly educated, intellectually curious.
To give you an example of our students, mm-hmm. I was teaching in class one time. I made a statement, and I didn't think anything about it. And about 20 minutes later, this lady in the back of the room put up her hand and said, "Dr. Heiberger, you had an article in 1973 when you disagreed with the position you just took."
Oh, my God.
You know, she had done her background research on me.
Was she doing it, like, on her phone
no.
in real time?
No, she wasn't doing it in real time. She had read some of my things in advance, and she was right. It was diametrically opposed, and I said, "Well, things change in 30 years."
Right,
that
right.
was my out, because the article was 30 years old.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Now, what do you teach?
I'm a political scientist, and I was teaching a course in campaigns and elections, and the nature of political parties. Mm-hmm. And the political parties have changed a lot in 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, 1973, that's 40 years.
40,
now.
Well,
yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah,
yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah, 30, 40, you know.
Are you, Nancy, are you also teaching in Renaissance?
No, I'm really working on the, really setting up the curriculum. I mean, that's been my interest since I got here. I was what they call an academic librarian. I was the director of university libraries at several universities, and before I retired and moved here. So I have very broad interests, as most librarians do. But I haven't taught at all. My husband's going to teach this fall.
What does he teach?
He's going to teach a beginning course in astronomy for people who really don't want to know what they're looking at when they walk out in their backyard here, you know, and just really don't have any idea at all what
right.
it is. And
there's a light show of some kind
yeah.
in the sky.
Yeah, there's something happening, and they'd like to know what it is, and they really don't have any background in astronomy or physics or anything like that. And he was a hobbyist. Now, he's the other type of teacher we have, is people who've spent their life, doing something that they're very interested in. We have someone teaching a Civil War course where really that's the case there, and some other people where they've just, this is what they've been interested in all their life, and they're really quite knowledgeable.
Now, is there an age limit for being for taking classes at Renaissance?
No, it's adults. I mean,
adults.
You know, so there's that age limit. Our classes are during the day, so that, you know, makes it difficult if people are working. But really, there isn't any age limit.
Now, how do you vet the teachers? I mean, it's not like this is a four-credit thing.
No.
And if somebody says, "Well, I'm a hobbyist on the American Revolution, mm-hmm. and I've been studying this all my life," how do you know they're not a crackpot?
Yeah, well, we interview them, so to speak. I mean, usually one or more of us will meet with the person and try to get a sense of whether in a dench. And I mean, even if it's someone who's academic, you know, as to whether they would be able to, say, translate scientific concepts to an audience of non-scientists. We want to make sure that it's going to work. And, you know, occasionally we get feedback also on every course we have, and if it looks like people aren't working out. We keep that in mind and when we do our bookings for the future.
We do evaluations for every course, and those evaluations are read
by
several people. Mm-hmm. The curriculum committee reads them. I read them. Mm-hmm. Frequently a third person will read them. So we take the evaluations very seriously. Mm-hmm. And another thing that we do, we have Thursday afternoon lectures. And sometimes person's kind of auditioned doing a lecture.
Yeah, we have.
And then that's a one-shot affair. And then if they are good, then the idea for a course that will be three, mm-hmm. four, or five sessions will go.
Yeah, that we often encourage people the first time they teach to do a lecture.
Now, do you give homework or papers?
No. Now, some of the literature courses, for example, people are reading some particular work of literature. So in that sense, they might say, now, you know, try and get through the next 10 chapters or something before next week. So there is, in a sense, some commitment there. But for many of the classes, there really isn't. I mean, you sign up and you show up. And that's one of the nice things about it. We had a course last term, that was on the Magic Mountain, on Thomas Mann's Magic Mountain, and had 65 people registered. And I remember that the instructor, who had previously taught at a university, said he can't imagine ever getting his students, 65 of his students, to all sign up to read the Magic Mountain, which is, you know, a huge novel. And you know, I think that's typical of Renaissance, and people were very engaged. I mean,
there's something about, I mean, I remember being in my mid-20s and deciding to go to St. John's College, mm-hmm. and, you know, you have your college already behind you if you mm-hmm. go to undergrad at the normal times, if you go to college, and there's a kind of not only maybe a little bit more maturity, but there's also a real hunger that I think develops with age, that mm-hmm. isn't always there for everybody when they're 18. But when you realize, you know, you can spend your life doing really boring mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. and it is, going to classes is actually this incredible privilege of mm-hmm. using your mind and engaging with people. Mm-hmm. And then when you're older and have perhaps spent your life doing all kinds of stuff, some of which might be interesting, but I mean, I would think that people are just really ready.
Yeah, they are.
I was at Xavier University before I retired, and we had a graduate program in humanities, and the unofficial slogan was, it's a tragedy that education is wasted on the young.
Yeah,
they say youth is wasted on the young also. Now, you've got a big symposium coming up on mm-hmm. Dante.
Yes, we do. And it's we have for the last couple terms, I guess, had a four-class symposium, a consecutive 4 days in a row symposium on various topics. And this one is really on, is called Between Heaven and Hell, the World of Dante Alighieri in Medieval Florence. And for people who are interested in Florence, medieval history, art, architecture, music, literature, they're going to get a little bit of all of this. It's very interdisciplinary. It's been well planned, and I think it's going to be excellent. We've had a lot of interest from people as we've been sort of out promoting it.
That's but you're not November. Asking people to read Dante?
No. No, they don't have to read the Divine Comedy in preparation for it. I'm sure they're going to make some reference to and talk about it, but it isn't really a course just in Dante.
Yeah.
It's really more about Dante's times and in Florence, I think.
And there's a musical evening.
There's a
concert.
If you register for the symposium, there's a concert also of appropriate music.
Medieval Florentine music.
That will be that's part of the package, and which I think is going to be exceptionally good. So we're pretty excited about this one. It's in November. You know, it's right at the end of our normal term for the last 4 days of the term. I'm looking right here quickly at the dates. Yeah, it's November 16th through the 19th, and which is right when we end this particular fall term.
Now, so what you have is classes, you've got lectures, mm-hmm. and you also, I think, have trips, you've got mm-hmm. reading groups.
Yes. Right. Yeah, the reading groups are really just, if you're interested in the book and you'd like to come and discuss it with people, you can just show up, pay a small fee, or you can register ahead of time. They're a little like having a book club, you know, of random people who are all interested in that particular book. And of course, the lectures are every Thursday from 1 to 3. And almost all of our events are at St. John's United Methodist Church on Old Pecos Way.
St. John's Trail. United Methodist Church, which a lot of people call the Pumpkin Church.
Do they? Yeah.
Yes.
That's the one. Yeah. And
as opposed to St. John's College, don't go up there.
Yeah. No. This is United Methodist Church. And so most of them are there. Occasionally there's a concert at some other venue, or I think this fall we have a sampling Santa Fe art that's being held on Fridays, where they're going to be going around to different galleries and so forth with knowledgeable people.
Nice.
So that, you know, that type of course is clearly not there.
Now, this is a kind of volunteer organization, although you do have to pay to take the classes.
Yes, you pay to take the classes. It's basically $10 a session, and the lectures are $10. And the lectures are drop-in. You don't have to pre-register anything.
Oh, okay.
The courses, it's good to pre-register. Some of them have limits, particularly literature courses will have limits. The trips have limits. Many of them don't, so you can register right up to the day the class starts, but you do have to register. You just can't walk in and take it.
Right.
And online registration starts
next week.
Next week. Online registration starts next week.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, this is, it starts Monday the 10th at 8 a.m. And I mean, it's like online at 8 a.m. to get on and do it. And then if you want to do in-person registration, that starts the following week. And at our office, which is also at St. John's United Methodist Church.
Now, how did all of this start? Did you start Renaissance?
No, it started. We're in our 20th year is coming up. It started. The first year was the first couple years actually were housed at the community college, and it was part of Elder Hostel. That only lasted a year or two.
I think it was
a year or two, and then for a variety of reasons, it spun off. So Renaissance is totally a local Northern New Mexico operation. We're not franchised. We don't have any national direction. We respond to what local people want. Mm-hmm. And I think I have the opinion, just kind of rumor, that that's probably why we disassociated with Elder Hostel, that there was a little on when they wanted courses, and we just, so we're independent now and totally responsive to Northern New Mexico.
How did you get the name Renaissance? It's not Renaissance, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's right. It's
Renewal Santa Fe
is what we think.
Is what we think it was, but that again is
Renewal R-E-N-E Santa Fe. Got it.
Right.
And we think that's what it is, but there's no written documentation of this.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, being an academic, I would like to have a piece of paper that said this is what it is.
Yeah. Right.
I think it was so informal when they first got started, and you know, a bunch of volunteers getting together to do it, that nobody kind of thought about maybe later somebody coming along might want to know where this all got started, because that's the best story I've heard too, but none of us really know.
So there's also a section on performing arts. Do you actually go out and see operas or plays or things like that, or do you talk about them in the classes?
Some of them. We've had a course with movies where the group gets together, I think, and decides what movies they're going to go see and then come and talk about it. I took a course last term that was on the Shakespeare production at the Santa Fe Playhouse, and we had a class there, and they showed us around, behind the scenes. And then after the production, which was included in the cost of the course, we got together to discuss it. So there are some courses like that. Not a lot, but there are some performing arts. And we always tried to get, we tried for a variety here, because people are interested in different things. And a lot of our participants have said to me, kind of like myself, I mean, I was a literature major, and I'm very prone to the literature courses. But on the other hand, this has been a great opportunity to learn an awful lot about things I don't know anything about.
So you take the classes yourself?
So and I do it for two reasons. I mean, one is that that's how I got involved in Renaissance in the first place, was because of taking courses and going to lectures. But on the other hand, as the chair of the curriculum committee, you know, you kind of want to see how things are going and and get to know some of the instructors that I don't know at this point.
Do the instructors just kind of like show up and say, hey, I want to teach there? Do you have to recruit?
People put in proposals, and we have a curriculum committee that reviews them to make sure that they look like they kind of fit our profile. I mean, as we've said, we're academic oriented, so we try to avoid the how to do, you know, courses that are offered elsewhere.
Right.
And, you know, we look to see that we're going to get a complimentary package. So sometimes if we just have too much history, for example, for the upcoming term, we'll encourage them to do it for the next term.
Right.
Because we don't want to let the opportunities go by. And I think, we really try to, you know, react and respond to this, or sometimes we'll get back to people with some ideas that if they could do something like this that might we think might work better. The other way we get them is to go out and find people, to be honest, and that happens almost by happenstance sometimes, where you meet somebody that's just moved here who has this kind of background, doesn't know anything about Renaissance. And I'm trying to do that right now with someone who I think could teach something that we would very much like. And so we go out to recruit because we have a lot of returning instructors each semester, or people that just teach every fall or every spring. But we are always looking for, you know, new people to blend into the mix.
You have a lot of returning students, too.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Probably 90% are returning students, and some classes have a following, like the movie course, or there's a course of New Yorker, and the same people take it every time, and that has a limit, so they're right there at 8 o'clock to register, so they get in the New Yorker class.
There's a course on the New Yorker? What do you get together and read the New Yorker?
Well, no, I think they pick a fiction and nonfiction or some particular piece from, you know, each issue that they're going to discuss, you know.
Or a cartoon.
Or a cartoon.
Or, as they said, or a cartoon. And that has a real following. And then there's also some of the instructors have followings, too. I mean, people who have taken courses. I know there's some people I've taken courses with that I would take anything they taught, you know. I mean, they're just always good. And that helps, too.
My wonderful mother takes lots of courses from you guys.
Oh, does she? Yeah, well, good.
And when we walk dogs, she tells me all about the Supreme Court.
That's our specialty for the fall.
Yes.
Yeah, that also has a good following, and it's a very good course. And that's an example of someone who, you know, was at a law prominent law school and part of a law firm in D.C., our instructor for that.
Right.
So, you know, there really are some. I don't want to say I was totally surprised, but I really was amazed when I got here. And someone told me about Renaissance. I started going to the lectures, and I looked out on the folks. I thought, you know, we've really got a lot of well-credentialed, as they say, people in this community.
And the Hotspots course is always very popular, with international relations, primarily in the Mideast, but that's always a very popular course that's heavily enrolled because people follow the instructor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime Bill Stewart offers something, they're there.
They're there, yeah.
Neil Heiberger is president of the Renaissance Institute for Lifelong Learning. Nancy Baker is chair of the curriculum committee. And they are on the web at renaissance.org. That's spelled R-E-N-E-S-A-N. And once again, enrollment starts, what was it, next week?
Next week, online enrollment.
Online. Excellent. Well, anything else before we go?
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah,
it's been a good discussion.
Thank you for having us, really. It's been great.